also told in the book of Matthew of chapter 9, and also I believe it's told in Luke chapter 5. And it is amazing that each one of the stories, the same story that's being told in all three of those Gospels, all of them have different things that they shine onto the story. And so today when we're preaching this, we're going to try to take into mind what's said in the other two Gospels as well. So just keep your mind on those things, and let's read starting in verse 1, chapter 2. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive him, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they all were amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Amen. Wouldn't it be amazing if we could leave here today with those same words? I've never seen it on that fashion before. Amen. We need those services, don't we? Amen. Wouldn't it be amazing if we left here today amazed and we could say with those who were in this room that day, we never saw anything on this fashion before. I long for that, don't you? Well, let's pray and ask God to help us. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and thank you. Lord, my heart is just overjoyed with being in your house. God, regardless of anything that's happening in this world, I know you're faithful. I ask you, God, today to touch us in this congregation. Lord, I need your help to preach your word. God, I know it's nothing apart from anointing of the Holy Ghost if you don't help us, Lord, for a few moments. Lord, just to deliver what I felt in my heart here recently. Lord, as of yesterday, these words came to my heart, Lord Jesus. And I'm trusting you, God, to help us. I just want to do your will in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We know this famous story about these four men who brought their sick friend to Jesus. And I'm sure you've heard it preached on. I'm sure you've heard people write books on. I don't know all the different categories, but I know it's a popular subject. Talking about these four men who had this faith. And today I want to preach to you, if I was to title this, on faith that carries. Faith that carries. And I want to take that idea about what faith is that carries, what it is, and how important it is that we are convinced about what we believe. And how it is important that this world, we must understand this. It's not looking to a church that is full of doubts. Not looking to a church without an identity. Not looking to a church that is not sure what they believe about the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, I've been praying and seeking God about this community and how we can be what we need to be as a church. And you know, I don't understand people and you don't understand people. Some come, some leave. And I know that's just reality in the age that we live in. But I said, God, what can we be? What do we need to be? And I felt the Lord deal with my heart on this idea that we need to be a church convinced and a church that is without doubt. Now, what all that means, that's just where it started in my spirit. Knowing that we have to be those people as believers. That's what we have to be. Believers. Amen. We cannot be in a skeptical age. Those that are full of doubt and those who have a double mind and those who look to humanitarianism and also look to the world, maybe to their methods and their schemes and maybe try to find an effective way to grow Abundant Life Tabernacle. No, we need to be those who believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is one of the greatest qualities. Apart from singing good, apart from all these different churches that have cathedrals and churches that have all these wonderful things, if you're not a people, if I'm not a person that believes in this Bible and believe unadulterated that is the answer to this generation and live a life that proves that, then we are wasting our time.
mind. I'm telling you what this world is looking for. They're looking for the church to be the church. Come on now. They're looking for the church to be the church. They have social gatherings. They have that. They're not most people in our community. I know we have some homeless. We need to do more there. But most people are not looking for food or looking for this or looking for skin. That's why if you notice churches that are constantly had to change their methods to grow their church. I remember one time, don't know much about it, but there was a church in New Bern, North Carolina that had a weightlifting team that came in. I think it was a power team for Jesus. And they were up on the platform ripping phone books in half. And I thought to myself, what is that? Amen. What does that have to do with the gospel? And you'll notice churches that turn to this type of methods. They'll have a weightlifting team this week, and next week they'll have a clown show, and the week after that they have to have a Super Bowl party. It's because they had the same generation and the same mentality as the world. They have to always keep something new, fresh, and changing. But I'm glad to know today, my friends, is this, that even though I know culture changes, and I know that there are some things in our life we find ourselves exposed to. They used to ride horse and buggies, now we drive cars. That's not wrong. Amen. They used to not have ACs and they left the windows up. Now we have AC units. That's not wrong. So everything that is cultural is not wrong. But I will tell you this. Anything that takes away from the power of the Word of God is wrong. Amen. Any method that you can find in that Scripture always works. I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, we have to have faith that carries. Now, I hope today as I'm preaching to you, we should be so convinced in Christ that we can carry people through every obstacle, through every bit of doubt, through everything in this world. We ought to be that convinced body of people. Your faith shouldn't burden down anyone. It shouldn't discourage anyone. I don't know about you, but I long to be that man, or I hope you long to be that man or woman who can say things with such conviction and power that this world and generation instantly recognizes that that's the inspiration and the power of the Holy Ghost. We need that witness in our lives. Now, I will be honest with you, as a pastor before, many times before I was pastoring, there's been times people came to me with situations and I would find myself sitting over a cup of coffee with them. I would talk to them and we would go on, and I would ramble on and they would ramble on, and they would talk about their problems, and I would tell them maybe you should try this and maybe you should try that, and we'd sit there. At the end of an hour conversation, we were still in the same position. They were unconvinced, and I've just given them practical advice, and I'm sitting there scratching my head, and it finally dawns on me. I said, you know what? You need to pray. Amen. It's that simple, but you need to pray. You need to find confidence in God. And we would leave there, and I'd ride down the road. I said, Lord, I hope I didn't say them words mundane or just dead. And I've asked God many times, as going to sit with somebody and talk with somebody or whatever it was. I said, God, let me present a hope to them that is so real, that is so tangible, that is so powerful, that when I say those words, that their very life feels like it hinges on that. That's the advice they need to hear. You know, I could sit there and I've done it. And I told them, oh, you should do this and should do that. But it comes down to this. How much do you believe about our Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe He rose from the grave on the third day? Do you believe that He walked on the water? Do you believe He turned the water into wine? Do you believe He opened blinded eyes? Do you believe He cleansed the leper? Do you believe He told the man to take his bed up and walk? I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, that's the Christ that we preach. And He just didn't do it 2,000 years ago. He does it right now. And we've got to be convinced of that. We are living in a doubting Thomas generation, that we've got to see everything to believe. That we have people, and I understand that the Bible, you thank God that Jesus showed Thomas the nail scars and his side. Thank God for that. But He said, blessed are those who believe that have not seen. Amen. I'm telling you today, brothers and sisters, even though we hadn't seen a blinded eye open, even though we hadn't seen the dead raised, I believe God can do it if He desires to do it. And we've got to preach and teach that. We've got to live that, and abundant life has to be that. Now, we read about this man that was sick with palsy, and we'll get to him in a moment. But the amazing thing is this. It says that Jesus, returning to Capernaum, it said it was noised abroad that he was in the house. Now, this is an amazing thing, that Jesus in His ministry, and because of who He was, He had such a magnetic attraction to Him. People were drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. It says here that He went into a house, and it was noised abroad that He was in the house. News of His presence spread like wildfire throughout the region that he was in. And his location was highlighted. Amen. You ever notice when somebody famous comes to town, the news will talk about him. He'll be here at a certain time and he'll be there at a certain time. They'll highlight the time and the event and where it is and all that. I'm telling you, wouldn't it be a blessed thing when somebody came to your door and knocked on your door and said, look, in those days in that city Jesus was, somebody knocked on your door and said, you'll never believe who's in town. Who is it? It's Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. Amen. I know some came to that house because they just wanted to see a miracle. I know that some came there that maybe, of course, we're going to talk about the skeptical ones, but I'm telling you, there was a group of men and women that came to His presence because they looked at Him as the Son of the living God. Wouldn't it be amazing if in this community right here, that if we could go door to door and say, look, I don't know what you're physically facing. I don't know what your family's going through. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I'm telling you, at Abundant Life Tabernacle, Jesus is in the house. Amen. And He's not only there, but Luke 5 says that His presence and power was there to heal him. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we don't need another gimmicking game. We don't need, thank God for things we can do. But I'm telling you this, God's not looking for your mentality and your wisdom and our business. And I know He's looking for us to stand up, go in our community and say, look, all we know is this. And say, look, we're not the most educated. We're not the best singing. We're not the most powerful. But Jesus is in the house. Amen. And if Jesus is in the house, it doesn't matter about anything else. But we've got to make sure we allow Him in the house to do what He wants to do, to work in our lives. Thank God that Jesus is in the house. He didn't need a cathedral. Just give Him a house. Praise the Lord. Man, if He was attracted to crowds, man, Jesus would be at the Super Bowl. He could care less about it. Amen. If it was about the buildings, I'll tell you one thing. If you've ever been to Maryland, I forget which way it is, Silver Springs Way, there's a Mormon temple over there that'll make you almost get in a wreck looking at it. I mean, got some sort of golden figure up there blowing a horn or something. I'm telling you, you find yourself, look, hey, take a picture of it and all those things. I've always wanted to go back there, but I don't know how Mormons are about you just walking in the church. But if he was attracted to cathedrals, he'd be inside the Mormon temple today. He'd be in some Catholic church today. But I tell you, I know, yeah, he's in a Catholic church, but they got him on a cross. Amen. But I'm telling you, He's not on a cross. He's in my heart today. And He's in your heart today. And here at Abundant Life Tabernacle, let that be the highlight. Let that be the billboard. Let that be the shiny marquee that Jesus is in the house. When people talk to you at the restaurant, say, look, what kind of church are you? I used to say, I'm a holiness church. I'm this type of church. I said, no, Jesus is in the house. That's the kind of church I want to be. Not some fake manifested emotionalism. No, but the power of God is there. And that's what I wanted to be marked by, is that Jesus is in the house. Amen. People packed it out. It's amazing when you read about them old meetings. Charles Finney, I mean, you couldn't get people. You couldn't find a seat somewhere. I think it was the Cowdens that told the story, Brother B.H. Clendenin, and maybe they'll share it with you sometimes. I remember the first time I ever mentioned that name is a man in the Assemblies of God that every preacher loves and looks up to. And if you've never heard him, I want you to listen to him. He'll lead you into a deeper prayer life. Amen. He'll actually deliver you from religion. That's what he did for me. I had a man give me a bunch of his CDs one time. I'm telling you, about three CDs into it, you realize, Lord, I ain't done much. And I realize how religious, my religious mentality. I'm telling you, he comes in and kicks it all down. I'm telling you, that's what Christ has always done. He doesn't allow tradition to live above the will of God. He doesn't allow tradition to live above the Great Commission. He always comes in our traditions and he wants Christ there. That's what he wants to be the highlight. But I remember him saying that Brother Clendenin was at a meeting. It was so packed out. There was nowhere to sit down. And it wasn't about a preacher. It was about the gospel being preached. It was about the miracles being done. It's because Jesus was in the house. Now, I want you to imagine this in the day of Jesus. It wasn't like a house that you and I own. The house of those days were usually a flat top roof, and they were usually a split level house at times. And that there on the bottom, when you walk in, it wouldn't be like you had the kitchen and the living room and all that. You would walk into an open room. And that's where Jesus was. And the Bible says this, that they began to pack out the place. The door was open. The windows were open, so to speak. And here it is. You have a multitude of people sitting there. there at the feet of Jesus. People to the door packed the whole place out. I imagine people on the second story looking down inside. Here this man Jesus is. He's in the community. He's in the house. And Jesus will always draw a crowd. Amen. Now sometimes the crowd may want to kill you, but they'll be there. Sometimes the crowd wants to make you king, but they'll be there. I'll tell you this, when Jesus is preached in the context He's supposed to be preached in, people are going to come around. Either they may come around with negativity, but there's going to be some that positive. Here Jesus is, He's in the house, they packed the place out. But notice what He did. It says all of a sudden in verse 2, they packed the place out and Jesus preached the Word unto them. Now, some people say, "What? He didn't put on a powerful demonstration of the miracle ministry of Jesus." No, He didn't. He took the Bible, and follow me, of course, I know the Bible. He took the Word of God and He preached to them. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, He put the emphasis on the thing that we are to focus on the most. Amen. Thank God I run Pentecostal to the bone. Thank God I believe in running church aisles, and I believe in shouting. I believe in speaking in tongues. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. It's there inside of me. And if you want to get me frustrated, tell me that they're not real. I'll tell you something about the Word. Amen. I've defended. I live it. I believe it. Amen. But I will tell you this, when they get more than the gifts of the Spirit, more than anything else, thank God that we can preach the Word and know that we've heard from heaven. Jesus took time with a massive crowd there to preach the Word. He didn't have a singing. He didn't have a game. He didn't have a blood slide. He preached the Word to him. Now notice this. Now some people would think, well, where's the miracles? They'll come. Preach the Word. Well, I want to see this. It doesn't matter what you want to see. Preach the Word. That's what the focus of Jesus was on at that moment. Now, I want you to notice this. I'm going to talk about it in a little bit on faith that carries. Now, I want you to follow me. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, faith that carries. But first, I'm going to introduce you to faith that doesn't carry, but faith that crushes, faith that demolishes. Here in the harmony of the Gospels, it shows us the same narrative in Matthew 9 and in Luke 5 with different details. And it says this, and it came to pass on a certain day as He was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So I want you to notice this. Here Jesus is in the house, and it says they're gathered unto Him out of every city a group of Pharisees and lawyers and doctors of the law. Now you ever noticed before, when people get unified about something, the lengths that they will go to establish their cause. You ever notice that? You ever seen a riot? You know, what took place in Ferguson was a unified cause against something. Now, there's other riots we could focus on, not just that one. But we notice this. When people, you ever seen people out there with picket signs and they're saying this? You know, I remember I went to Verizon a little while back to make a payment there. And I remember outside there was a bunch of people here on Mercury Boulevard. They were walking around with signs. They were saying something about Verizon's a thief and a robber and all this stuff. And I was like, I hope not. I'm about to give them money. Amen. I don't want to just give them money. Amen. And so I realized this. That here it is. I began to talk. I said, what's going on out there? He said, somebody, they want to raise. So they're whatever it's called. It's a riot or what is that called? Where they want more money. It's a protest or some sort of thing. And here it is. I look at that. When people get unified, if I'm not mistaken, they got their way. Whatever it was, I want you to get this. People get their way when they get unified. Now you have these Pharisees and lawyers. They're coming to see Jesus not to support Him, are they? They're coming to see Jesus being skeptical. They're coming to see Jesus. It's amazing when you study the Bible. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians, if I'm not mistaken, they never got along until it come to attacking Jesus. You'd be surprised how many people get together against some things. I mean, they all talk. He never called them. They get on that phone pretty quick. I know I ain't talked to you in 8 months. But you heard this? Come on. People can get unified against bad things. But I thought to myself as I look at this, notice their unity. I read one writer said that the Pharisees was what we would consider a pressure group. They would use their laws and they would use their clout to put pressure on people to do things that they wanted them to do. They were considered to be a pressure group, and they had come from the town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. They had traveled there to set themselves against the ministry of Christ, which is evidenced by the phrase, they were just sitting by. You ain't never seen somebody sitting by in church, have you? I mean, come on. They came there and it wasn't to see a miracle. It wasn't to hear the preaching. They came there to sit by. And they came there just to be nosy. And they came there to just get information. And they came there to find a complaint. You can say amen. I know what I'm talking about. Amen. I preach in too many holiness churches. You'd have to call me crazy. And I'm telling you, I've seen it. I've seen it where people will sit by. Their interest ain't seeing the will of God go forward. Their interest ain't seeing the power of the Holy Ghost. Their interest ain't in the preaching. Their interest ain't in worshiping. They just come there to sit by, to get through a service so they can tell somebody, I went to church on Sunday. I paid my tithes. I'm telling you one thing. We better quit sitting by on the Holy Ghost. There'll come a time in our nation, maybe we're under persecution, but God, whatever it takes, God, move us into the depths of your will. Move us into the freshness of your Spirit. I don't want to just be sitting by. Amen? I look at this, notice these people, their arguments. I just imagine the Pharisees coming in. This ain't much of a place. And Jesus is in here. Look at these dirt floors. Is that a chicken over there? Come on. Man, the temple's so much better looking than this. If he was a man of God, surely he'd be in the temple up there and God would, you know, he'd be in Moses' seat with us. We'd put him right on the Sanhedrin and give him good pay. He can't be God because God didn't come for me. And God didn't come for me to initiate him. Come on now, you know I'm preaching to you. I'm telling you, can you see him coming in? He's wearing that. He needs one of these nice garments that I've got on. You know, he needs to bind the word to his hand and bind it to his forehead. How goofy is that? Jewish people take a box and tie it to their head. Like they're memorizing scripture. If that worked, man, I'd take this Bible to the side of my head. I'd sleep with it on top of my head. Amen. I'm telling you, can you imagine as they come in, place stinks, it don't smell right. That can't be Jesus. Isn't he a carpenter's son? Isn't he from Nazareth? They just come to sit by. They didn't have one interest in anybody getting healed. I guarantee they're one of those sitting in church. They don't have a clue what the preacher preached. But they could tell you everything he did wrong. Come on. I mean, they don't know anything that was sung, but they know it wasn't sung right. Preaching. They don't know anything about the service. Have you prayed? It'd take the FBI to find them praying. And they come in there and they're sitting by. It's not, and I'm not saying you're here. If you are, we can help you today. Amen. God can help you today because Jesus is in the house. But I will tell you this. Now I'm telling you, they come by. I just imagine them saying things in their mind. Where did he go to school? You know, that's the first question everybody asks me when I say I'm a preacher. What seminary did you go through? I said, the Holy Ghost in my bedroom. I said, you lock yourself in for a few hours. He'll show you a few things. People say, how long have you been preaching? 8 years. Really? I thought you were a little older than that. No, I'm not. I know I'm bald-headed, but balding. What I'm saying is this, my brothers and sisters. They came there. What school did he go to? He's the son of a carpenter. But what's amazing about that verse 17, at the end of that, it said the power of the Lord was present to heal them. But yet they couldn't recognize it. Yet they couldn't see it. Even though the power of God was in that very house that they were sitting, and he said he was there to heal them, they're sitting there and can't even recognize his presence or his power because the Bible says they're just sitting by. I don't know about you, there's been too many services that I sat by. There's been too many Sundays that we sat here. Come on. There's been too many Sunday nights we just sat here. And we said, man, what's happening here? After we're going to eat here, or I can go home and watch this. Oh, shame on you and shame on me. If we ever get to the place that we're sitting there focused on the chandelier or the carpet or the pews or the preacher or the person beside you or the piano player or whoever it is, or the I'm telling you this, we've got to focus on Him because He is the one that matters. And there's times I believe like right now, His presence is here to heal us and help us, but sometimes we can't even recognize it. And it's there. Whew, I feel God here to help us. His presence is here. He's died on Calvary. He sent the Holy Ghost. He's here. There's not a formula. There's not a political ladder. We don't have to vote on it. He's here. If you need to be saved, He's here. If you need to be filled, He's here. If you need to be healed, He's here. If you need to be strengthened, He's here. If you need your feeble hands to be lifted up, He's here. If you need your feeble knees to be strengthened, He's here. If you need deliverance, He's here. It's not complicated. He's here. Jesus is in the house. It's that way. That's the New Testament. He was present to heal them. Oh, God, help us. I don't know why we are how we are, humans. Man, I'll tell you, it takes a revival for that to happen. Oh, we had revival. Why? The preacher come through. No, He was already here. Thank God, for preachers that come and help minister in different voices. Look, we're all a part of this together. But I've learned this. I've been to Africa. I found them there. I've been in North Carolina. I found Him there. I've been in jailhouses. I found Him there. There's never not a time that He's not here. He's always here. He's always there. He's omnipresent. He's here today. And can you recognize His presence? I want you to notice their faith was crushing because they could stand that close to the Son of God and couldn't even recognize the presence of God was there to heal them. Because they couldn't get over the prejudiced mindsets and the preconceived ideas. The whole time God is there. Now let's move on here because I love this next section because right after it talks about them being there and you know they were there sitting by and you know God led on and Jesus led on and reveals their heart about why they were there. We know that we read the Bible. We know that they're being critical. But as they're sitting there, it says all of a sudden a bed is lowered down and there's a man with palsy that is there. We are introduced to this paralyzed man that's being lowered down in front of Jesus. We see this. Could you imagine what it was like for Jesus to look down and see maybe some pieces of towel falling down. When He looks down, He looks up. And when He looks up, He sees a man coming down to Him. I'm telling you, that's amazing to me. That is powerful to me. This man was paralyzed. This man cannot walk. This man maybe cannot even move his hands. He had to be carried everywhere he went. He is helpless, but yet somehow he's at the feet of Jesus. And it's not because he walked there or had the faith to get up and walk and fly, whatever it was. He's there because somebody carried him. And the Bible would go on to say he's a sinner. How do you know that? Thy sins be forgiven thee. Boy, that was deep, wasn't it? So here it is. It's not even like he would have the faith to go there. Here it is. This lame man is here. Now, I want you, we've got to admire the characteristics about these four men that carried him. There's so many things about him. Number one is this. They cared for him. Oh, come on now. We're in an age that we're fast-paced. We find ourselves, I pull up the street corners, and sometimes I'll take a right or a left so quick, and I say, there's a homeless man back there. And I didn't even have chance to get it in my mind what was going on and all that. What I'm saying is this. They looked at this man and they cared. They stopped however it was if they knew him or didn't know him before. They had faith that cared for him. For one thing, they were so deeply concerned about their friend and wanted to see him help. They dreaded seeing their friend in this condition. And they knew they could only go to one place. God help us once again. Here even at Abundant Life Tabernacle to get outside of our normal schedule. To slow down. And to realize there's probably people right here in our very midst who need somebody to care for them. Come on. We are so fast-paced. But not only did they care for him, they had enough faith to believe that Jesus could do something about it. Now, I don't know how the conversation happened. Maybe their friend was laying there. And they got down beside him. You know, everybody else is going door to door. Jesus is in the house, up the road. Jesus is in the house, up the road. And maybe they come to this door and they knock and nobody answers. They come to this door and knock again. Nobody answers. And they know inside that door, there's a man laying there that cannot move. Whatever the condition is, if he's a father or a son, whoever he is. And they knock on the door and they say to themselves, I know this man can't get to Jesus on his own. He can't even walk. But by God, I know with God's help, I have enough faith that Jesus can do something about it. We're going there. And I've got enough faith, not just to tell him about Jesus. I've got enough faith that can carry him to Jesus. I'm a firm believer, and you disagree with me if you want. The reason we see so very little converts is because we're not very convincing. Now, I hope you're very convincing. I hope it pours out of you like a river. And I hope when you talk, the Holy Ghost ignites their hearts and they want to say, where can I go that I must be saved? Come on. I've read of those great missionaries of the past. You get them on a street corner with the Bible, somebody's getting saved. Come on. Didn't have to get him to church. I forget which one it was. Praying John Hyde. He'd get out there. He'd come back in with six converts. I love that. But Lord, help us to be convincing. However it was, they knocked on the door. They go in there and this man's laying there. And they look at him with a great need. And they did not simply pray about it. They did not say a little prayer over him. But they put some feet to their prayers. And they did not. They said, you know what? We're going to get you to Jesus because He's the answer. He can heal. And He's the one that's going to help us. Can you imagine what it was like when they got to the house where the great crowd and the multitude was gathered? It would have been very easy to be rash. Well, not today. Try again. I'm telling y'all, folks, my arm's getting tired. I don't know if we can keep carrying him. He's heavier than we thought. Rationality. We've got to go to bed, folks, man. If we wait in this line, come on. Wait 2 hours in line at Busch Gardens to ride a roller coaster. Can we wait in lines to see a soul won? Follow me. Patience, endurance. We endure through what we want to endure through. I've learned that. We've pretty much, people will go through great lengths. They will drive across the country to go to an event. Tell them about a camp meeting. I'm just busy. I'm working. Come on. I can't. It's too much. It's not, if I do, no. What about losing the rationality? What about taking the preconceived ideas, laying them to the side? You say, look, I've got this man here. He's lame. There's a bunch of people in there. And if the aggravating Pharisees would get out of the way, there could be more room. I'm to the place that they're not going to get saved. Get out. Because the Pharisees are just hindrances. And I'm not saying here, God, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in general people who do not want to get to Jesus. Is what I'm saying. They're everywhere. And please, if you took that wrong, it wouldn't meant to anybody directly. I'm saying this. There are people that get in the way and become hindrances with somebody trying to get to Jesus. Here this man is. They're trying to carry him to Jesus. And there's people there. And you know what they say? They look up to the rooftop. If we can get up there, maybe we can lower him down to Jesus. And can you see him? I don't know if they had stairs or a ladder, whatever it was. But I see it. All the effort, all the sweat. All the tears, they're pulling that man. I don't you ever try to lift a person that's dead weight? Now, I ain't talking about in water either. I'll joke around in water, I'll pick up somebody big because I can pick you up. I'm talking about, you ever lift somebody that's really... I joked around with Holly one time, I said, imagine if I was drowning, save me. I'm glad I won't drown. I just laid there, I said, move me, come on, if you had to drag me to the door, and she didn't get far at all. I'm telling you, when somebody's dead weight, it's a lot of work. I mean, they're flimsy there. So here it is. These four men are lifting this man up to the top of the building. They finally get him up there. And there's another problem. There's a roof on this building like normal. But that did not stop them. Notice their persistence. And they begin to beat their way through the ceiling. They begin to pull their way through the tile. They begin to do their best to get down to it. They had a persistent faith. I won't be much longer. But I will tell you this, church. Our faith needs to carry. I don't want to just go through a religious spiel. I want to be so convincing that people know that it's real. Because we have to be convinced. If them men were not convinced that if they got to Jesus, He'd be healed, they'd have never got Him there. Amen? They believed without a shadow of a doubt, if they got them to Jesus, Jesus would do the right thing. Jesus would do a mighty work. And that's what happens here. Notice again, like I said, can you imagine Jesus? And these guys had to be pretty precise because they lowered him down right where Jesus was. I picture a guy maybe putting... You ever seen a guy put his ear down to something trying to hear? Hey, maybe it's right here. Let's try right here. These men were persistent. I'll tell you what I feel in my heart sometimes. I said, God, if we were just as persistent with getting people to You as we were in other areas, I believe we would see so much accomplished. Humanity has always been able to build the biggest skyscrapers. And men, we are men of projects. We will do great things. We can put things together. Some of us can. I don't know if I can or not. I'm buying furniture and finding out I can't. And they don't give you enough screws. You break one, that's it. But I've learned that when we put our minds to something, we can do great things. Wouldn't it be amazing if we came unified on this great cause? Let's get them to Jesus. Stand to your feet as my wife goes to the piano today. Let's get them to Jesus.